Hoops to hip hop. All right, Al, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
So I was an All-American, had dreams of going to the WNBA, was about there. I had 4 knee surgeries, so that kind of ended my career with that. My senior year in college, started the first 7 games and then just couldn't even play defense without my knee giving out. So always loved hip-hop, always wrote rhymes. Like, before the games, the whole team would get in a circle and I would just spit a rap. And it was just, that's what got them pumped up. So after I found out I couldn't play, I put a video out on the internet, YouTube, via YouTube, and it went viral in, I think, 24 to 48 hours. So my phone just started ringing, going crazy, put out more videos.
So this is why you're still at Tennessee then?
Yeah, this is, I'm still a senior.
Hooping.
You know, I'm on the team, but I'm not playing. Like, okay. I'm like a student coach. Well, phone started ringing, signed with Walt Cusick with Rock to Def and Mighty Loud with Jesse Dupree. And just since then, just my life has changed. And Jesse Dupree had a good relationship with ESPN with Kevin Wilson. And they just asked, you know, what else she can do. And just on my resume, I'm a DJ, I can act. And they were like, well, ESPN's looking for a new DJ, a female DJ. And they put my name in the pot and they picked me. So here I am, very blessed.
That's unbelievable. And even before you made that transition from basketball to hip hop and put out that video and everything kind of went viral and your life really changed.
Right.
I mean, going back to even further than that, I mean, how'd you fall in love with the genre of hip hop and rap?
I'd have to put that up with my brother. I have a brother that's 4 years older than I. And as a hooper, to me, living in Tennessee, you can't get crunk or hype before a game to country. It just wasn't, you know, it wasn't in me.
Right.
So I threw on the Eminem and the Lil Wayne's and stuff like that, and I just loved it. And I play the drums, so I guess just, I play
too?
The drums, so.
Oh my goodness, you're going to take over the world pretty soon. I mean, what can't you do, baby Mac? That's pretty cool stuff.
I'm on the guitar, so just learning, but hip-hop's always played a huge role in my life. And like I said, like, that's what I did at nighttime in elementary and middle school. Like, I got suspended one time for not doing my homework because I was over there writing rhymes about the whole class and stuff. So it was just who I was. So I just kind of, you know, fell into that role and just took it as a dream and just followed it.
Who were some of the biggest influences on your music today? And even growing up, I mean, who were some of the guys? If you had to rank, you know, I remember Isaac and I, we had this debate. Gosh, when Isaac, like, I want to say like 2 weeks ago or something like that, dude.
Yeah, probably around then.
Yeah, I want to say 2 weeks ago. We were here on the air and we, you know, we deviate from sports a little bit and we started ranking our top 5 hip-hop artists of all time.
Oh, I'll get fired up over here.
I want to know, I mean, who is your list and who is that? Who are those artists that you really look up to and aspire to and really that really inspire your work today?
Number one overall, hands down, Eminem. So shout out. I'm in Michigan right now.
And I know he's D-town, from D. Baby.
Yeah, from exactly. D, so. But just love him. I believe he's the greatest rapper ever. Not only saying that because he's white, I know we bring that up a lot, but that man is a lyrical genius. And I believe if you don't agree with that, then you need to recount what you're listening to.
He's unbelievable.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's definitely like, top 5. He's in my top 5
is
list.
He?
And I think, Isaac, he was in yours, right?
Who's your number
he
one?
He was not in mine.
Ooh.
He wasn't in yours, really?
Come on, baby.
I thought you had him in your top 5. Okay, we got to have a discussion
in the top
about
10?
That later. He's
got to
be.
Yeah, he's definitely in the top 10. No
okay.
debate about that.
We're cool then.
Okay, we need to have a discussion when you get back on Monday.
Who's
brother.
Your number one, Al?
Oh, man, my number one would have to be, of all time, I've had this debate between Pac and Nas left and right.
Right.
I really love those two. For me right now, I mean, my number one guy is Kendrick Lamar.
I mean, Kendrick
to me, and I saw him on Stephen Colbert's show not too long ago, the premiere of the Late Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
And he had a performance that sent chills up my spine.
Buzz
He's
on.
Unbelievable. My top 5 would be Pac. Biggie is in there. M is definitely in there.
Right.
Nas has to be in there. And then at number 5 spot, I kind of throw Rakim in there because
okay.
I love Rakim. So we could go left and right with
right.
that. But M, certainly, especially me being from Detroit. I mean, I saw that influence growing up because I'm a big hip-hop guy. I saw his influence growing up in my neighborhood.
Definitely.
I mean, just so profound. He's definitely unbelievable. So, M, give me 2 more.
2 more. I'm going to agree with you on Kendrick.
Right.
I'm going to go back with the Pac and Biggie. Love Pac, but I'm going to go with Biggie just because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm a Drake fan. I love Drake. I mean, when you can get a dude that can rap and sing, you know, doing the thing. So, that'll be my top 5 right there.
I like that.
Eminem, Kendrick, Drake. And Biggie, And then Pac.
And then Pac is in there as well. And, you know, Drake gets a lot of flack for being that singing type of, the soft thing comes up all the time. But he's talented. Unbelievably
amazing.
He's amazing. He's definitely amazing. So we'll get back to hip hop in just a second, how you got the job at Game Day and how that really has changed your life. But I mean, again, hoops, such a love of yours. And you came and played for one of the most historic women's college programs in the entire nation, a legendary coach under head coach Pat Summitt. I mean, how did you fall in love with the game of basketball and what was it like playing for a coach like Pat Summitt?
Sports is always been an avid part of my life. I come from a sports background family. My father was an All-American. My mother played in high school. She also tore her ACL in high school. My dad played at Maryville College, which is a D3 school in my hometown.
Right.
And he was All-American on football and baseball. So my family we love sports. Living in Tennessee, you're either out hunting or you're playing sports. And my family was playing sports. So I just grew up. I was always outside. And I actually played football for a Pee Wee football team.
Really?
Yeah. And then I ruptured my spleen, which injured that because I was on a boys' baseball team. And that's how I injured my spleen.
Wow. So you played football, baseball.
All on guys' teams.
And hoops.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so it kind of continue and take me through how you ended up on Tennessee's team.
I just kept playing basketball, and I was just getting better and better. And then middle school, actually, my freshman year, Pat came to one of my games in high school, was on AAU, was All-American in AAU in high school, and she was just interested in me, and just we hooked it up, signed it, and there I went.
Wow, so. And of course, folks, while you were at Tennessee, you won not one but two national championships. You played with who was one of my favorite women's basketball players of all time, and Candace Parker. I mean, what was that incredible ride like? What is it? Because mere mortals like myself will never know what it's like to play at the pinnacle of a sport, you know, in Division I basketball,
right,
and win a national championship. What is that like? Because you got a chance to do it twice, baby Mac. That's unbelievable.
You picture hard work times that by 10. A lot of people say it was a job. It's a job, and it is. The routine every day was you're up at 5 a.m., you're going to bed at 10, and then it's just routine. And you just had to bring it every day. No days off. Mm. Even if you had a day off, there was no days off because me, as an injured athlete, I was in doing rehab 3 to 4 hours a day. So it was just a lot was going on for me in college. My mom was battling breast cancer at the time, and I lived 20 minutes away. So really, for me, I was waking up at 5 a.m., going to workouts, going to class, going to practice, getting my study hall hours in, and then going back home, hanging out with my mom, going to bed at like 2 a.m., waking back up at 5. So my college was kind of a little rocky, kind of lost my head a little bit, but it was a blessing. What I went through has made me stronger, but it's definitely a job. You got to bring it.
Yeah, and you talk about that that rocky ride, I mean, when you were in college and just trying to stay focused and keep it together, as
right.
you say. I'm sure Pat had a lot to do with that. I mean, how was it playing for her? And what type of person was she away from the hardwood?
She is an amazing person. Definitely filled in the motherhood role that I needed. Off the court, she had our backs. She laughed. She was a normal person. But when you step in between the lines, there's no smiles. You know what I'm saying? So it was just, she's a great person. Even today, we keep in touch. I went over to her house, I believe it was like 2 weeks ago, and she still just had that spunk and competitiveness to her. And it was just beautiful. Like, I thought we were going to throw down in the living room. Like, she's just great. I mean, she's definitely... You couldn't pick another person to be the face of women's basketball.
She wants to get back at it, huh?
I think she's going to be like a sideline coach this year for the Lady Vols. Like, she still comes to all the games and she goes to the practices. So she stays involved with it. I mean, that's her life. That's what she grew.
Yeah.
So.
And it really shook the sporting world when it was announced that she did get diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And you and I kind of talked before we hit the air very briefly about how she is doing and how is she doing for our listeners out there who are wondering about that.
She's doing great. Coach Summitt's a fighter, so she's not going to go down any otherwise. So even if she is in pain, she's not going to show it. She's not going to tell it. So I can't give you a behind-the-scenes diagnosis because what she puts on in front of me may not be what's going on because she's a fighter and she just keeps smiling. Nothing's going to bring her down. So shout out to Coach.
Gotta love that. Folks, if you're just now joining us here to WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the official DJ of ESPN's College Game Day. Of course, Game Day is in his house because tomorrow Michigan State will be playing host to Oregon, the biggest college football game on slate for the weekend. Now, Baby Mac, I mean, you have visited many campuses, and this is your second year DJing for ESPN's College Game Day. Out of all of the campuses you've been to, I mean, what's been the craziest experience? And where do they rank? I mean, because you told me about one school that's just absolutely just nuts.
Right. Definitely my number one, like we spoke before, was Ole Miss. Just going there in the Grove and just the energy. Like, sometimes as a DJ, I have to create the energy. There, I did not have to do anything but just play the music because they were on point. The Grove, it's just a beautiful atmosphere, and they were climbing up the charts as a football team, so they were very excited. Definitely can't forget Fargo.
Okay.
They were amazing. They shut the whole town down, man, like closed
really?
The stores, like blocked off the roads, and the whole town came out.
Right.
So just that support was beautiful. I mean, every campus has their different, you know, hype. Energy and stuff, but definitely Ole Miss.
See, if you guys are listening out there, East Lansing has to really bring it tomorrow. Okay?
Gotta bring it, man.
We want to be one of those schools that, you know, when you talk about, you know, the craziest experiences and really the most rowdy atmosphere. I mean, Michigan State certainly wants to be up there. So, hey, folks, if you're listening, go out. ESPN's College Game Day tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. at Munfield. You got to bring it. You got to bring it.
Well, let me say this. Last year, I will not that it's an excuse, but it is. Last year, it was so cold.
It was
raining. It was muddy. So I understand that. But this year, I think we're supposed to have a little bit better weather. And I am your DJ, if you want to follow me on Twitter, at TheBabyMac. Send your request. I want to know what this campus wants to hear. Can you help me out with that? Do you have any songs that you know the campus likes to hear? I know they like Fetty.
Oh, Fetty Wap is big nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a little bit of Rich Homie Quan. Isaac, I mean, what do you get turned up to, man, when you get
right
ready for
now,
the
day? I'm not sure. I don't have the mainstream taste of most people, but...
Yeah, I love my conscious hip-hop. That's like what
I'm big.
Yeah, me too. Well, you know, when you go out and turn up, I mean, what do you guys go? You still go to Harper's or something like that on campus?
Well,
I mean, what are they...
All Me by Drake, 2 Chainz, Big Sean. That's a good one.
So a lot of rap. A lot of rap here.
With some Big Sean in that because a lot of cats from the
D. Yeah, D-Town.
Big Sean. So, yeah, definitely some Big Sean. But, and again, they could tweet you. I'll probably be tweeting you probably tomorrow.
Please do.
It's going to be a crazy atmosphere. I know it on campus. Now, for you, Baby Mac, I want to go back to the basketball aspect really briefly here before we get you out of here because I find it so intriguing because it is certainly a grind when you grow up playing the game. You playing for a historic program like Tennessee. I mean, the dream is to play hoops professionally one day. And it's certainly a grind trying to make it to the WNBA. I mean, we see many players, of course, many at Michigan State playing under Susie Merchant's team, you know, who maybe may not make that WNBA dream come true, but maybe go overseas and play overseas.
Right.
For you, how hard was it to come to grips and take a different route and say, that's it for hoops?
I mean, it was a struggle. I'm very strong in my faith, but once I knew that I couldn't physically play the game, I did honestly hit a wall. I was like, okay, what am I going to do now? Lost my moms, can't play basketball anymore. What am I going to do? So when I put that video out and it went viral, like it just kind of hit a light bulb. I knew I was going to have a lot of criticism being white, being from Tennessee, and rapping, but... I'm just the type of person, if you know me, I don't really care what anybody thinks, so
I
just kind of went with it, but sitting back and not being able to play my last year, I was on the bench, and it was like watching all my friends play while I was in timeout at recess. So I was offered to stay on and get my master's and be a student coach, and I turned it down, actually, just because it wasn't there for me anymore. Like, being
that
in the gym.
Yeah,
not at all. I mean, if I want to be around the game, I want to be on the court, I want to be playing, I want to be busting heads, not on the sidelines cheering. I might as well throw some pom-poms on. So it just had to be done. It's life. We all go through some stuff, make a decision, believe in it, keep it moving.
That's how you do it. That's how life is, right?
Yes.
When you knock down, you got to get up. And you certainly have done that, baby Mac. And again, going back, because I didn't know your mom had passed, and condolences to you. I mean, you, at the end of the day, you also want to make her proud, too.
Oh, definitely.
I'm pretty sure she's looking down, smiling at you. I mean, what sort of relationship did you guys have growing up, and what's some of the things she used to tell you about this game of life?
Oh, she was my best friend. At my church, like I said earlier, I play the drums, and she was on the piano. So we were kind of like a tag team musical group at my church. But when she was battling cancer, I was battling the knee injuries, and I would get in a pity party, and I'm over here complaining about a ligament, and this woman is over here fighting for her life. So it kind of just straightened up, and one day I remember being upstairs in my room. I think I stayed up there for like a week, never turned the lights on, and she just came upstairs, got in my face, and was like, "You need to put your big girl panties on." And I was like, "All right." And she just walked off, and I was just, and it was just beautiful. It's just a blessing how God puts people in your life, you know, to keep you in check. And she was one of those persons.
I love the attitude. And going back to what, you know, you stated earlier in our interview, I mean, you're the type of person that says, "I don't care. You're going to do you at the end of the day."
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, you being Caucasian, you being in an African-American driven genre in hip hop.
Right.
I mean, you probably do deal with that criticism, just like Eminem dealt with it. I remember when Eminem came out, it was like, "Oh, who is this,
right,
you know, white rapper coming out?" And he got a lot of flack for it. But Eminem, he had the same mentality. He didn't care. And M was so different with what he would do. I mean, I've never seen anyone sort of push the genre of where hip hop could go,
right,
with his raunchiness and not being afraid to say what others had previously never said. I remember Oprah having like a big whole show about Eminem's lyrics,
right,
on the Marshall Mathers LP. For you, baby Mac, I mean, coming in to this industry, what sort of criticisms do you hear, and how are you trying to dispel them with what you do?
Probably the main one is, I'm not the wear heels, take your clothes off, talk about your body, and talk about what you do with men. That's not what I rap about. I rap about my life, and I'm not going to take my clothes off. I'm going to wear what I want. I'm going to rap about what I want. Just being as a lady, I feel like being a woman these days, we are subject to sexism. I think there's a difference between being sexy and sexism. You see what I'm saying?
What sells?
I know sex sells. I understand that, but I'm here to change on the way the world views that. You can still be sexy, walk in with some Jordan sweats, with some whatever you want to wear, have your clothes on, and you can still be the sexiest woman in the room. It's all the way you portray yourself and how genuine you are, in my opinion. And also my lyrics, starting out, I would curse a little bit. But I have kids that look up to me from basketball in my home state. So I don't curse anymore.
I love that. It's like Lupe Fiasco. Yeah, I'm a big Lupe guy.
Every now and then I may, but I try to keep my lyrics as clean as I can.
Gotta love that. Yeah. So with that being said, last question. What do you think about Nicki Minaj?
I love Nicki Minaj. Much respect. I mean, she's changed the game. She's put women on the platform. Personally, I love her old stuff, like her first mixtape when she came out. Like, that was it. That's what I jammed to. Mm-hmm. But she's doing her thing. Can't hate on her.
Yeah, that is certainly true. Mm. All right. Well, again, folks, Baby Mac, the official DJ of ESPN's College Game Day. Again, pub. I mean, what do you got coming out? Again, throw out your Twitter handle again there.
At the Baby Mac. That's TheBabiMac. Also, tag at ESPN Music. Send your requests. What do you want to hear? I'll be giving away free T-shirts throughout the show, keeping the club hype. Every now and then, we might do some contests. I'm going to bring a Michigan State fan up and then an Oregon fan, and y'all going to battle it out, maybe predict a score or whatever. So just come out and have fun, man. No matter the weather, bring what you want. But also, just remember, it's for the love of the sport. Have fun. And this is your DJ, Baby Mac.
That's the main thing. Gotta love that, Baby Mac. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much,
Al,
for coming in.
Appreciate the opportunity.
All right.